You're listening ad-free on Wondery Plus. It's late in the evening of September 21st, 1776, on Long Island, New York. 21-year-old Nathan Hale drains his beer and slams the wooden tankard down on the table in front of him.
Yeah,
Nathan's hosts let out a congratulatory cheer and refills his drink. Robert Rogers is twice Nathan's age, and over several drinks, he's been telling Nathan all his old war stories. Nathan is hanging on every word. Nathan is also a soldier, though he's far more than that as well. He's also a spy for George Washington. Ordered to keep tabs on the movement of British troops in New York, Nathan has found the job stressful and difficult, so he couldn't believe his luck when he met Robert. At their very first meeting, he divulged to Nathan that he too was spying on the British. And after weeks of living a lie, it's a relief for Nathan to finally be himself for a few hours. As Robert begins another one of his stories, Nathan rocks back in his chair. Sheltered from the chilly air outside, in the home of his new friend, Nathan feels an unfamiliar but welcome warm glow. Then there's a sudden knock at the door. Nathan looks up alarmed. But Robert pats him on the shoulder and reassures Nathan that their new guests are friends. But as soon as Robert opens the door, a half-dozen British soldiers muscle inside, their muskets drawn. Nathan stumbles to his feet, knocking over his beer as he tries to back away, but there's nowhere for him to go. He's trapped. And by the door, his new friend Robert just smiles. The blood drains from Nathan's face as he realizes he's been set up. Nathan Hale will be arrested for spying on the British. He knows his crime is punishable by death and that only a miracle will save him from the gallows. But he accepts his fate, understanding the risk he was taking when he agreed to spy for George Washington and become America's first secret agent on September 8, 1776. From Noiser and Airship, I'm Lindsey Graham, and this is History Daily. History is made every day. On this podcast, every day, we tell the true stories of the people and events that shaped our world. Today is September 8, 1776. Nathan Hale spies for America. It's daybreak on August 30, 1776, on the shores of Long Island, New York, 3 weeks before Nathan Hale's arrest. Thick fog hangs over the river as the leader of the Continental Army, 44-year-old George Washington, steps onto a small wooden boat. Washington moves as quietly as he can, but the small boat is packed with men and its deck creaks as he adds to the weight. The sound seems to reverberate through the misty air, and Washington freezes, knowing that the slightest noise might give away their position. But the shoreline remains quiet, so finally Washington finds his place and the soldiers push off from shore. They drift away into the open water. In the boat, a young soldier reaches for an oar, but Washington gives him a look. The sound of rowing could also easily give away their position, so for now, they need to just let the currents do the work. Through the dense fog, Washington can see the murky shadows of dozens of other small boats, and inside is his army in full retreat. George Washington has been the leader of the American Revolutionary Forces for over a year now. What began as a deep sense of frustration over taxes imposed by a government an ocean away quickly spiraled into the belief that America should be ruled by Americans. Many rose up against the land their forefathers had once called home. And as commander-in-chief of the rebel army, Washington has led his troops to several impressive victories. At the beginning of the campaign, his inexperienced militia besieged Boston, trapping British forces in the city and preventing them from moving supplies and ammunition by land or sea. This blockade went on for almost a year before the British abandoned Boston and retreated north to Nova Scotia. Washington's men quickly advanced and seized the city, but Washington knew it would not take long for the British to retaliate. So he sent reinforcements to Manhattan and Long Island to defend the vital rebel-held port of New York. Even so, when the British launched their inevitable attack in August 1776, the Americans found themselves outnumbered and outmaneuvered. penned in on Brooklyn Heights with the East River behind him, Washington saw that his men faced a calamitous defeat, so ordered a stealthy withdrawal. In the dead of night, one by one, units retreated to the shoreline, where boats waited to carry them across the river to the relative safety of Manhattan. But as dawn neared, the last troops, including Washington himself, were still on the shore waiting their turn. They would have been doomed were it not for the thick fog that rolled in with first light. With the mist now disguising their movements from the unsuspecting British, Washington and his men managed to escape. While this retreat was a necessary move, Washington now faces a new challenge. Winter is coming, and morale among his troops is low. The American Congress has now officially declared the country's independence, but there are many who believe their enemy is simply too powerful to overcome. The British have one of the greatest empires in the world and have thousands of well-trained and well-equipped troops at their command. Against these seemingly insurmountable odds, some rebel soldiers begin to abandon their camps, sneaking away to return home. Even those who stay behind begin to grumble about the lack of provisions and ammunition. Looking for answers, Washington and his senior officers hold a hurried conference. The Battle of Long Island has claimed over 300 lives, with a further 1,000 men captured by British troops. It was a bitter defeat. Still, Washington believes the battle could have been won if he had the right men in the right positions to counter the British. This was a failure of information, he believes, not bravery or equipment. So Washington reasons that the only way to know the movements of the British in the future is to send in undercover agents. A hush falls over the other officers. Many of them think that spying is a dishonorable trade and that such an act of deception should be beneath gentlemen like themselves. But as far as Washington is concerned, the benefits of knowing where his enemy will be and when far outweigh any questions of honor. Regardless of the rights or wrongs, one thing is certain. The risk for the undercover agent himself will be huge. Whoever steps forward to spy for America will have to know that if caught, they will be charged with treason. And treason comes with only one penalty. It's the evening of September 8, 1776, in Manhattan, New York, a week after Washington's conference with his generals. A line of uniformed men stands to attention outside their barracks. Among them is 21-year-old Nathan Hale. Nathan stares straight ahead, his back straight, his chin raised. But then, out of the corner of his eye, Nathan sees a figure who causes him to momentarily lose his perfect form. Nathan's head moves a fraction to the left to confirm that it is, in fact, George Washington, who's walking the line in front of him. Nathan's legs begin to feel heavy in the presence of a leader he idolizes. But as Washington talks, Nathan regains his composure and listens intently. Washington commends his men for their bravery and thanks them for what they have already given in the fight to free their nation. But then he adds that he comes before them today with an extraordinary request. He asks them to do something that many of them may not feel comfortable with. He needs a volunteer to go behind enemy lines and report on the movements of the British. Among the young soldiers, there's silence. Nathan and the others stand perfectly still with no one volunteering. So with a heavy sigh, Washington accepts the men's decision. They'll just have to try another unit. But as Washington turns to leave, Nathan takes a deep breath and then steps forward. It's exactly 3 years to the day since Nathan Hale graduated from Yale. Well-liked and respected on campus, Nathan was a champion for many causes. On the same day as his graduation, he even argued for the radical idea that girls should be given the same education as boys. It was a debate he won. Then, following graduation, he worked as a school teacher, but that came to an end when the revolution began. Nathan quickly enlisted and rose through the ranks to become first lieutenant. A year later, he was personally selected by Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Knowlton to become one of Knowlton's Rangers, an elite infantry force specializing in reconnaissance and field intelligence. Having seen little action in his previous companies, Nathan was eager to do something great for his country with his new unit. And now, General Washington is giving him that chance. But there's little time for Nathan to prepare. American troops may have escaped Brooklyn, but the British could attack Manhattan at any moment, and Washington needs to know where they might land. So Nathan receives just 4 days of training in the art of espionage. He's given a cover story of a school teacher looking for work and is then told to ingratiate himself with British soldiers to try to learn everything he can about their plans. He'll be armed only with a paper and pencil, which he is to hide in his boots. and once he's gathered the information Washington needs, he must return to camp immediately. As Nathan removes his soldier's uniform, a friend corners him and asks him to reconsider, insisting that Nathan is not suited to treachery. He's too trusting, too kind-hearted. But Nathan meets his friend's eye with determination and tells them that what he's about to do is necessary for the freedom of their countrymen. Soon after, Nathan leaves for British-controlled Long Island. And at first, he lies low. By day, he visits local schools and offers his services for work. In the evenings, he drinks in bars with British troops, eavesdropping on conversations and being careful not to talk about the war too directly. This slow and steady approach keeps Nathan's cover, but before he can report back to Washington with any new intelligence, the British launch their assault. New York City falls, and Washington is forced to retreat again. Further up Manhattan Island, they manage to stop the British advance, but it will now be far more difficult for Nathan to rejoin them. The British control both sides of the East River as far north as Harlem, and they're on the lookout for any American spies. It's about this time when Nathan is approached by a man who introduces himself as Robert Rogers. Robert says he's been watching Nathan and that he knows what he's doing. Nathan tries his best not to panic, but then Robert whispers that he too is a spy working for America. Robert tells Nathan that they must not talk in public. It's too dangerous. So instead, they should meet at Robert's home. Nathan accepts the invitation, but he's walking into a trap. Robert is a British loyalist who's been charged with rooting out traitors, and in Nathan Hale, he's found one. Soon, Nathan will be placed under arrest, and the notes hidden in his boot will confirm exactly what he's been up to. Nathan is a spy, and for that, he will hang. It's September 22, 1776, at a British army camp in New York, the morning after Nathan Hale was arrested for treason. Sitting at a desk, Nathan writes the final letters of his young life. The first is for his commander, Thomas Knowlton. The second is more personal, an address to his mother. He signs his name to both and folds the papers. Then he gets to his feet. Two young British soldiers are waiting to escort him outside. A makeshift gallows has been prepared for him. It's just a rope hanging from a tree with a small ladder beneath, but Nathan knows it's the end all the same. He asks for a preacher to be with him or a copy of the Bible. Both requests are refused. The soldiers then shove him forward. But despite the dread coursing through his veins, Nathan masters his fear and goes up the ladder willingly. As the noose is put in place, Nathan speaks a few final words, then he steps off the ladder and the rope bites into his neck. In the years to come, there will be much debate as to what Nathan's last words were, but the phrase, "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country," will be commonly attributed to him. Still, he gave up his life with little to show for it. None of Nathan's information will ever make it back to his superiors, and without insider knowledge of British movements, George Washington will be forced to flee New York for Pennsylvania. It will take another 6 years of fighting before the war ends and America finally secures its independence. But despite his failure, Nathan Hale will not be forgotten. In 1973, almost two centuries after his death, a statue of Nathan will be unveiled in front of the CIA's headquarters in Langley, Virginia. The plaque beneath it will name him the country's first intelligence officer, a soldier who stepped forward when no one else would to spy for America on September 8, 1776. Next on History Daily, September 9, 1919, Boston's police go on strike, prompting Harvard students and faculty to act as a volunteer peacekeeping force. From Noiser and Airship, this is History Daily, hosted, edited, and executive produced by me, Lindsey Graham. Audio editing by Mohammed Shazi, sound design by Molly Bond, supervising sound designer Matthew Filler, music by Thrum. This episode is written and researched by Owen Paul Nichols, edited by William Simpson, managing producer Emily Burke. Executive producers are William Simpson for Airship and Pascal Hughes for Noiser.